But if you would bow your heads with me one more time. Dear Lord, help me make it through this. Help me keep my composure, Lord, and bestow upon the people of the congregation what you've done in my life and in my family's life, Lord. And Lord, help us to take away from this the treasure that you have for us. That somewhere in these words are your words, Lord, and let my words be yours. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The title that I named this sermon today is The Hope Chest. And you'll understand why whenever I get through. When I was 6 or 7, I remember telling my mom and dad that I wanted to be a preacher when I grew up. Now, I think, from best I remember, I was just trying to impress my mom and dad. Because a lot of my uncles were preachers. They were a different congregation, a different denomination preacher, but they were preachers, and a lot of my aunts were singers and very active in the church. So I thought this would make my mom and dad happy. I had 2 older brothers, one BJ, who's 2 years older than I, and one named Ted was 7 years younger than I. And Ted would be more relative as we go on through this. But my younger brother, Teddy, was born pigeon-toed and club-footed along with other medical conditions. The doctors told my mom and dad that Teddy would have to wear a full leg cast on both legs, wear special shoes with braces on them, and that he would not be able to walk until he was 18 years old. Please remember these facts. 18 years old. I remember him having to sit in this square apparatus when he had the full cast legs on his legs. It was like a small table with a hole in the middle with a canvas seat. Teddy really had problems with his feet. They hurt him all the time. One Sunday, when Ted was around 2, Ted was crying because his feet hurt him so bad. And my mom was crying because Ted was crying. My mom and I were watching a televangelist on TV by the name of Oral Roberts. How many people have heard of Oral Roberts? Well, anyway, he told everyone to grab hold of part of the body that was hurting, and he would pray for God to heal it. My mom took hold of Teddy's feet and prayed with Oral Roberts. When Mom and Dad took Ted to the doctor, the next time he went, my brother and I disagree on this point, but I say it was the next day. My brother said it was a few days later. That's not important. They couldn't believe what the doctors told them. Ted's doctors told Mom and Dad that Teddy's feet were healed to the point that he would no longer have to wear a cast on his legs or braces on his feet. It made a believer out of me as young as I was. Maybe that's the reason that I told Mom and Dad what I did. This is what the Lord tells us in His holy word. I will praise you to all my brothers. I will stand up before the congregation and testify the wonderful things you have done. Psalm 22:22. Come in here, all you who fear God. Let me tell you what He has done for me. Yes, God has done so much for me. But for you skeptics, and there probably are some of you out there, I know I would be, probably. This is my younger brother Ted in the apparatus I was telling you about. He's with my family. You can see we didn't grow up a very prosperous family. We grew up a poor family. Don't look at the one with the bird legs. This is my brother right here in full cast, full leg cast. This is my older brother holding him. This is him in braces on his shoes. You can't see this, but his feet are turned outward because those braces turned his feet outward. Again, this is when he was younger. This is him As you can tell, he does not have braces on his shoes, or does he have leg cast on? He's not 18 here, so that proves my point. I did not grow in a Christian home, per se. Both my mom and dad believed in God, but they seldom went to church. However, my mom made my older brother and I go to church every Sunday. We were not Seventh-day Adventists then. After we were in our teens, Mom didn't make us go, but we went to church to play softball. I loved playing softball, and so did my brother, and we had a team. And the youth minister came out there one day and seen us play and decided we'd make a good team. And we did, you know. The church, I was not a good person. Let me tell you that right up front. I'm not a good person today. Don't think I am. And after I get through, you'll see why, you'll understand why. I hadn't really talked to Sheila because she was younger than I was. Her sister was born on the same day, same month, and same year that I was. One Friday night at a party, we started talking, and I never talked to anyone like her before, so I asked for her a date to go to the movies the next day. I was not a Christian. Matter of fact, I was far from it. Now, little be known to me, I asked Sheila, she said, asked me if I could pick her up at the church that I used to go to the next day. Well, I knew that church only was only open on Sunday. They had their services on Sunday, and this was Saturday. And after I picked her up, I asked why pick her up here. She said, because today I was baptized. You can imagine how shocked I was. I was not a Christian, and I was not about to date this woman. But I did. And 51 years later, I'm still dating her. I can't say they have all been good, but I can't say they would all been if it hadn't been for me. More on that later. When I'd spent 20 years in the Air Force, I'm going through my life as I see it, and I hope you understand that God was in that for me. God sent her to me. There was nobody else but God in these things, and I want y'all to know that there is nothing that I have done on my own to allow God to come into my life. It's His mercy that did this. When I had spent 20 years in the Air Force, my older brother called me and told me that both my mom and dad were in bad shape health-wise and that I needed to come home. Well, I don't know y'all, how many of y'all have been in the service, but as you know, especially the Air Force does not want to let you go home after they've invested all those monies in on you. And I just made rank, and they had big plans for me. Matter of fact, after they told me that there was no option, I said, oh, you're forgetting one option. I'm leaving. I'm going home. My mom and dad need me. They said, well, if you do, we'll prosecute to the fullest. Now, I had signed documents that even allowed me today not to be able to talk about these things, but they could have put me under the prison if they wanted to. And I said, I can't help it. I'm going home, you know. God, family, country, right? Anyway, so they let me go home. Meanwhile, I got orders. And I said, y'all said you was going to have big plans for me here, and you give me orders. And I had orders to the Pentagon. And I said, well, you know, if I'm so useful to you here, why are you giving me orders? So anyway, they let me go home and even gave me a medal, a high medal at that. Whenever I got out. So I came home. I had devoted 20 years of my life, and so they retired me. And I had more awards and decorations, and I don't mean to say this to be boasting of myself than any other combat pilot just about that there was, but that's how much that the Air Force thought that I was worth. And that they didn't care once I had orders. They wanted to keep me in there, but they let me go home. But anyway, to make this short, they would send me to the Pentagon. This is where I would have been working, in the Pentagon, when the plane went down in, killing all the folks. Now, was the Lord in that? Yes. He told me I need to go home, and the reason I need to go home because he didn't want me killed yet. Maybe for this one day, right here to give my testimony to y'all, and I hope that that's the case. Like I said, I call this the hope chest. This is the Ark of the Covenant. God's law, the Ten Commandments. But before we get into that, Sheila's work, I told some of y'all this story already. Sheila's work gave her a small New Testament Bible. After seeing it lying around a while, I told Sheila, I said, why don't you get rid of that Bible? You don't need it, and I don't want it. She said that it was a gift, and it wasn't hurting anybody where it was at. After a few years of seeing it laying there, curiosity got the best of me, and this time curiosity was the Holy Spirit. I started reading this little Bible until one day I realized that I needed to go to church. Sheila and that little Bible led me to Christ. One day right after school, I given my soul to the Lord. I prayed to the Lord, Lord, I want to know all I can about you, but I have no study material. I have nothing, Lord. And we weren't rich, Sheila and I. We were making it, but I didn't even know where to go to get study material. The Lord gave me a response because a couple days later, my sister-in-law brought me a pastoral course and asked me if I wanted the material. Her husband had passed away, and he got this brand new study pastoral course. And I said, sure, I want it. No one can explain me that it was something else except God. God is the one who gave me that. I went on to go to college to become a pastor. That didn't work out, and I'll tell you why in a minute. After I was recently saved, I was home one day visiting with friends that we had over for a couple hours when the phone rang. It was Jack Benimpi. How many people know Jack Benimpi? Jack Benimpi is a pastor on TV. He's a televangelist. He informed me that he just called to chat, and that's what he did. He just called to talk to me like he was some layperson, and so was I. We talked for a long time about nothing in particular, just not about sending him money or anything, just everyday talk. I believe that God sent him to me to strengthen my faith because my faith was very slim. Remember, I just got received the Lord's call. Not more than a few days later, I received a phone call from Florida. It was a man that was in intensive care unit in hospital there. The caller informed me that the doctors had called in the family to pay their last respects. They thought that it was just a matter of time before the man's passing. The caller knew of my devotion to Christ and asked if there was any way I could come and talk to the man. She said that she didn't think that the man was dying was saved. I immediately informed Sheila that we had to take a trip to Florida. You don't ask when the Lord calls, you go. But I have turned him down on several occasions, as you'll find out. The caller knew, when Sheila and I arrived at the hospital, I asked the dying man's son if I could go in and talk to the dying man alone. The man's son was confused at my request, but agreed to let me visit with his father alone. We talked about Christ, and I asked the dying man about his wishes. He started telling me his wishes, and when I stopped him and informed him that I would make his final wishes known, but there's no way I would promise that any of his wishes would come true. I could not guarantee that. we should never make promises to anybody except what God's word tells us to make promises, that there's a place for everybody in heaven. And we should make that known. He had some simple requests, that he would like to be buried in a blue suit. He also said that he wanted to be buried in Tel Alma, where his folks were buried. He then spoke as if he was speaking to his last words with tears in his eyes, and he said, looked up at me, and he said, tell this girl that we both know that I love her. I'm here to tell you, it's rough. But I said something that I will never forget. And I don't know where this came from, folks. And I'm telling you, I'm a sorry man that walks on this earth whenever I would say something like this. But I told him no. But he should get out of that bed and go home and tell her himself. I couldn't have believed that I told this dying man this. Somehow, don't ask me why or how I knew, but it was the right thing to say. Here is a summary of what happened. If he had died then, the family would have lost 10 grave plots that was over here in the Tullahoma graveyard. That he had to be transferred, that had to be transferred before he died. But I want you to know he eventually died. Yes, he did. It was several years later, but not because of what he was hospitalized for. I told him to give God the credit. God is the one who deserves the credit for every day that we live in our life. I had a routine back doctor in a physical therapy appointment at Murfreesboro VA. I went to the back doctor who informed me that I had a place on my back that he was going to send me to the surgeon to have it removed. After my back doctor's appointment, I went to the physical therapy appointment. The physical therapy told me that I would have this other place removed. So, not worrying about it, I went to the surgeon's office. The surgeon and his nurse came into the office. The surgeon was furious. He said, why did you not follow protocol? This is a VA. You should have followed protocol. I didn't know what protocol was then, but anyway, I learned. I told him that I was sorry to bother him, and I started to leave. Excuse me for everything that I said. But anyway, he then told me to take my shirt off and check out the place that the back doctor had recommended to be removed. I told him that I also had another area that needed to be taken off. The surgeon looked at his nurse and said, and I quote, do we have a room available, question? The nurse replied, yes, we do. I will never forget what the surgeon said next. And this is what the VA surgeon told me. Well, I tell you right now, there's nothing wrong with either of those places, but I will cut the darn things off. To make a long story short, one of those two places was malignant melanoma, the worst possible cancer known to man. What was this protocol that I had not followed? I was supposed to have gone to my primary care doctor, who would have scheduled me to go to the dermatologist, who would have sent a consult to the surgical clinic, who would have scheduled me to come in for an appointment, then if they deemed necessary, would have scheduled me for a surgical appointment. In summation, it would have taken me a year and 2 months as a minimum to have been able to get to the places removed. According to the doctors, I would have been dead at 8 months. That's how big my cancer was. I never found out which place was cancerous. God, no maybes about it. I know where that's at. As we move through the Ark of the Covenant, it'd be so nice if that would work, but anyway. Everybody knows the Ten Commandments, I hope. We have them in our house. Matter of fact, we have them a couple places that God wants me to learn them and learn them good. But anyway, this is the Ten Commandments. And I tell you right now, I have broken every one of the Ten Commandments. God knows, and God forgiven me. I pray, and we'll go through these. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Hope. This is the hope of the hope chest. For I know that the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. I had everything in life that I thought man wanted. I had a decent automobile, a decent wife. I partied all the time. I had a good job. But I didn't have God in my life. I love cars, and I put cars above God. I built my first car when I was 15 with my dad, and it was so intense and so involved with my father, I couldn't wait to tell him other things. This is forgiven. Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry, and God has forgiven me. I praise God for that, just like he can forgive you. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. Now you can say this is not true, or you can believe it. It doesn't matter to me. I believe it. I used to make graven images. I used to make model cars. Model cars was something that I made in reflection to my idol, the cars. And these graven images kept me thinking about cars instead of God. Hope deferred maketh the heart sick, but when the desire cometh, it is a tree of life in Proverbs 13:12. Forgiven. In Psalms 51:17, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken heart, and contrite heart. O God, you will not despise. So God has forgiven me, and I accept his forgiveness. Three, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord in vain. I'm here to tell you, I'm not proud of this. I've taken the name, Lord's name in vain many, many times. But there's more than just using cuss words to take the Lord in vain. When you take something in vain, you're saying that doesn't matter. It's no good. And I've said that the Bible doesn't matter many times. I've called people Bible bangers and many other things. Now people have called me that in return, and I accept that, and I appreciate that. But I have said that the Bible is not true, and that's making that void. It's making it vain, and you can make it vain just as well as you can curse God. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, and ye that hope in the Lord. Psalm 31:24 in the King James Version, it's hope. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. In Hebrews 10:23 in the King James Version, I am forgiven. God has forgiven me. Four, remember the Sabbath day, keep it holy. Come unto me, all ye that are labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. God has given us rest through hope of the Ten Commandments. Psalm 86:4-5 said, gladden the soul of your servant, for to you, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. For you, O Lord, are good and forgiving, abounding in steadfast love to all who call upon you. So God has forgiven me. Five, honor thy mother and thy father. I had a good mom and a good dad. My dad was the salt of the earth. I loved him. My mom was too. They just couldn't live together. After 20 years of living together, they decided to call it divorce. I know the fault. It was me and my brothers. There was just too much, especially my younger brother, it was too much of a burden to put on them. They didn't have God in their hearts. They may have had God in their hearts, but they didn't show outwardly God. If they had called on God to help them, I'm sure that they would still be together today, or they would have been together. They're both deceased now. They deceased not too long after I come out of the service. But anyway, I did not honor my father and my mother, but I should have, because you won't find a better mother or father on this earth. Hope. Blessed be the God and the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again unto lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. 1 Peter 1:3. Isaiah 1:18. Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall become like wool. I have been forgiven, and I praise God for that. 7. Thou shalt not commit adultery. I wish I could stand up here to you in front of you and say that I hadn't done this, but I'd be a liar and a cheat as I was before. I have broken my family's heart, my wife's heart, my own heart. God forgive me. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us in Romans 5:5. Hope. God says in Luke 7:47-48, therefore I tell you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much, but he who has forgiven little loves little. And he said to her, your sins are forgiven. Jesus speaking to the accusers of the woman who caught in adultery. God forgave her. God has forgiven me. My wife has forgiven me. I appreciate it. 8. Thou shalt not steal. Again, I wish I could stand up here and tell you I haven't done any of this. I have. I've done everything wherever I was younger, And I can't blame it just on my youth. But their youth, I tell you one thing right now. Honor your mother and your father. Do what they say and read your Bible and do what God says. And God will bless you. I promise you. Hope. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of his mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. In Colossians 1:27. In 2 Corinthians 5:18-19, all this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of his reconciliation. That is, in Christ God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. God has forgiven me. And I praise God for that. 9. Thou shalt not bear false witness against my neighbor. I have done this. I have lied more times than I told the truth probably as I was growing up. But I told so many lies I didn't know what was the truth. And God, whenever I got right with him, I may say something that's not true, but forgive me for that. Sometimes my mind can't remember the truth, all of it, but I will try not to tell you a deliberate lie in my life. Hope. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear, in 1 Peter 3:15. Forgiveness. Colossians 1:13-14. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. God has forgiven me for bearing false witness, just like he can forgive you. Thou shalt not covet. I remember telling you how I was interested in cars. I love cars. I always wanted one. So we got an XLR, and come to find out, God said, that ain't what you need. You need a van or an SUV, you know, to do this kind of work. You don't need that XLR. So we sold it. And it would probably have been dinged up by now anyway, because she has a lead foot. But, yes, God gives us what we need, not always what we desire. So shall the knowledge of wisdom be unto thy soul. When thou hast found it, then there shall be a reward, and thy expectation shall not be cut off, in Proverbs 24:14. Hope. Matthew 6:15. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others for their sins, your Father will not forgive you your sins. So I'm putting y'all on the spot today. Actually, I'm not. I don't expect any of y'all to forgive me of my sins. I just know that I expect the Father to honor his word. And he does, and he has forgiven me. For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet stumble in one point, he is guilty of all, in James 2:10. I've broken more than one of the commandments, so I have broken them all, according to James 2:10. Please pray for me. 6. Thou shalt not kill. There are many ways of killing. One way is in combat, in which the Lord looks at being okay. Matter of fact, the Lord has guided some people in combat. There's also murder. The one that the Lord despises, though, is by lying in wait. And what I take of that is that if we search in our minds and we know it, we shouldn't do this and we do it, that's a wrong thing to do. That's a wrong kind of murder. I'm here to tell you I've done that, too. A man and woman, we're going to have a baby, and it was my decision that caused them to have an abortion. Let me tell you something. There's nothing more precious than you children. There is nothing on earth more precious. But it was by my words that caused them to do this terrible thing. That's something to put on your heavenly resume, isn't it? Hope. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. In Psalms 121:7-8. Forgiven. 2 Corinthians 2:5-8. Now if anyone has caused pain, he has caused it to me, but in some measure, not to put it too severely to all of you. In other words, if I've caused pain, I've caused pain to y'all too. For such a one, this punishment by the majority is enough. So you should rather turn to forgive and comfort him, or he may be overwhelmed by excess sorrow. So I beg you to reaffirm your love for him. stand ready to forgive. And one last thing. And fear not them which kill the body, but are able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell, in Matthew 10:28. And I tell you, I've done that too. A lady was dying in life care of Tullahoma. One of the nurses asked me to go tell her about Christ. When I told my pastor about it, looking for my pastor's knowledge on what I should do, because who am I to go tell her about Christ? Well, I'm just like you. God says, go and tell. He asked why I was called to her deathbed, and she was on her deathbed. I told him I didn't know. Anyway, I went to her bedroom. Sheila and I did, but I want you to know I did not lead her to Christ. I did not do my best effort to lead her to Christ. So therefore, I have destroyed the soul, but I have to believe that God is not going to say, well, Jim Williams, we're going to leave that final judgment up to you, that he wouldn't have sent somebody else like he did Elijah. He says, told Elijah, hey, I've got many more people just waiting to go in your place. My brother Ted called me to come to him. He lived in Paducah, Kentucky. I brushed it off. Later that night, he was taken to the hospital. He died in the ambulance on the way there. Knowing all these things that I've told you weren't great to have on your heavenly resume, if God can forgive me, and he promises he does, then he can forgive anyone, because Paul's not the least of the sinners. I stand before you. I am. We'll have our closing hymn.